Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, part four. And let's get this thing going here. So, couple of announcements, updates, if you will. One of the things yesterday was that we offered to do phone calls with anybody that is looking to find out how they can strategize their business or if we can help them in any way. No charge, just a phone call to see if we can help in some way. And they were really good calls, and we're not finished with them yet. Thank you for your trust in us. But one of the things that I found disturbing might be a hard word, but it's what's coming to my mind right now, is the number of people that don't think that they can do anything. They're taking my advice on pushing pause and not paying anything and having no money coming in is almost like this general rule, and it's not. It's a suggestion, and here's who it's for, okay? It is for people that your income has stopped or slowed down below your spend, below whatever your current bills are, and you need to begin to, begin to maybe push pause on some of your outgoing bills. Maybe necessary. And that has to be reviewed and adjusted every day. However, if you have a way to make money, if you have a business, you need to seriously consider how relevant you can make it right now. Don't just automatically assume that you can't. And I think that based on what I understand by everybody I talk to on my team that is speaking with everybody is basically this. The real thing that's kind of controlling it is a little shame, a little guilt, a little worry about what people are going to think of you if you charge something. And I assure you, don't worry about that. If you have something that is relevant right now where you can help people, and there's so many different ways that people need help right now. There's ways that people need help right now where they really didn't need help before just because the situation has changed. You have to really look at what you can do. So let me kind of give you like a hierarchy here. Okay. So remember, the first thing, as I've been talking about for 3 days, is gratitude. Go into gratitude. Gratitude starts to open up your consciousness. It allows you to start to see the opportunities that are in front of you. And let me say this, for every single person, there's an opportunity. For every single person, your job is to accept responsibility for your situation and look for the opportunity. So part of a big part of what I've been teaching is around how do you get your mindset, your consciousness into the place where you can see the opportunity. That's why we decided to start doing calls, because we were getting a lot of texts. We were getting a lot of emails from people where they felt completely stuck. So we're like, let's just open this thing up and do personal calls with people and see how we can help them. And here's the thing, if we can help you in a way where it falls into you can afford to pay us and we charge you, that's a good thing because it keeps the economy going. If you can't afford to pay us, we're going to help you anyway, right? So that's kind of the way that everybody on here needs to be thinking about it based on what you can logically produce as a company and with your teams. But there's so much here that's relevant right now. And so many of you have businesses that can, maybe they're brick and mortar businesses, or typically you have to see people face to face. How can you do it online? You have to think about how you can do it online. How can you do it over the phone? How can you do it via teleconference? How can you do it like with Zoom, like we've been doing this for 4 days? Think about this. If you have a product-based business, if your product is completely irrelevant right now, okay, ask yourself, is there a way to turn it into a service? Is there a way for something that you do in your expertise of running that business and running that product that you could turn into a service? You have to really think outside of the box, and I'm going to give you a lesson on that here in a few minutes. Don't just shut down and think, oh shit, the world's gone to hell, there's nothing that I can do, because it's not true. Another way, which is something else that I've been saying, is that we have this amazing device called a computer and the internet in front of us every day. Start searching the problems that people are having so that you can kind of get an idea. You know, maybe your mind is not going to a place where you see an opportunity, but if you start seeing some of the problems that people are having, something in your mind may click and go, oh, hell, I could help somebody with that. And then all you have to do is figure out how to get a hold of them. So everybody here has the ability to help. The idea is that you don't go into this saving yourself ideology and think about big picture of how I can help. I've been saying big picture for 4 days. Why? So here's why. This morning, the governor of New York was talking and I was watching it, and he's giving an estimate. This is his opinion. This doesn't mean it's fact, okay? So I just want to say that again. It doesn't mean it's fact. It's his opinion. But based on what they're studying right now, we're looking at 6 to 9 months before we start to get back to normal. And he explained why. Because we have not seen the peak of this yet. So they're looking basically at China to see what China's doing, how long it's lasting over there. And then we have to take in like the whole global economy into this equation at some point, because even if we get into a good place, say in 1, 2, 3 months, doesn't mean the rest of the world's going to be there. So we may not be able to travel yet. People may not be able to travel to us yet in different ways that we do business. And we have to take that into consideration, because that will also affect the economy to some degree. So he's saying that 6 to 9 months, depending on when we hit peak, and then how much longer after that do the numbers actually start coming down. Now, something that could totally throw that a wrench in that in a good way is that they come up with a cure for this or something that prevents people from getting it or spreading it in a relatively short period of time. Because once they do that, it's game over. Like, we get back to normal really quick. The world starts to get back to normal really quick. But if they don't, you have to also take into consideration, how long is it going to be this way? It really looks like there's going to be a great package put together this week for funding people on incomes and for funding small businesses. So there's a lot of numbers going on. I'll let you do your own homework on that, but it looks really good. So that will help tremendously, because for those of you who have big businesses, if you don't have to lay people off, or you can bring them back because of this package where you're reimbursed for their salaries, that would be a fantastic thing, because for the most part, for most people, it's the salaries that are the largest overhead. So that's the thing that people start thinking of first to start cutting or lowering. If you can wait till that package is announced before you lay anybody off, it should probably be only a few more days. Then see if you can hold out waiting for that, because I think that's also a game changer for all of us individually, financially, and business owners when they actually do that. So that'll be absolutely fantastic. So make sure that you're checking on those facts every single day, so that you can stay up to date with your thinking. We've had an enormous amount of requests for me to go back over the levels of awareness teaching one more time in a little bit more detail, and then kind of proceed out of that into the next thing. So that's what I want to start with today, is going through that levels of awareness teaching that I taught yesterday and explain it one more time so that everybody has a firm understanding on it, because it's so very, very important to the way that we're actually thinking right now. And Steph, if I'm missing anything, please don't hesitate to jump in and remind me, okay? All right, so let's take a look at this. Can you see the, hang on, let me adjust my computer. Steph, can you see that okay?
Yeah, it looks great. It's right in the middle of the screen.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So levels of awareness are when we become aware of something that we're not aware of right now. And what that does is it gives us more options. It allows us to evaluate from a completely different perspective. But this can go either way. Okay, if we go into fear, our levels of awareness can actually reduce from where we are now. And then what we do is we kind of close in on ourselves mentally, psychologically, emotionally, and we can't see further ahead. We're only looking at what can go wrong. That's a very dangerous thing because then we keep closing in, closing in, closing in. Now, here's the thing. When you're experiencing this, either way, it's very real to the person that's experiencing it. It's extremely real. I mean, it becomes your reality. When you're in fear and you just see the whole world going to hell in a handbasket and you become more and more isolated and you're thinking about your business can't earn money, there's nothing you can do, nobody would buy from you, there's nobody for you to help, and you really get deep down into the fear, it becomes very constricting. Psychologically, mentally, emotionally. And you begin to then rationalize why you can't do something. It's totally not true, but it's the experience that you're finding yourself in if you don't know how to mentally stair-step your way out of that kind of thinking. So what we have here is basically this. Each one of these lines corresponds with and represents a different level of awareness. Now, let me give you an idea about an idea around awareness that might help a person think through this a little bit differently. Because I think that if we can grasp the concept conceptually, it makes a lot more sense in our mind. The idea is this: there was a time where each one of us was not aware of gender, our own gender or somebody else's gender. Now, I realize that's a long time ago, but it's very much the truth. We had to become aware that there was gender, that and there was an opposite gender, okay? We had to become aware of that. We had to become aware of how to do all different kinds of things in our life that we weren't aware to do. So as we progress through life, we become more and more aware of ourselves, of the possibilities, of the things that we can do. I teach that success itself, whether in times of trouble or in times when things are normal, is an awareness in and of itself. That means your ability to become as successful as you want to be is all about, fundamentally, it's all about awareness. If you can become aware that you have the ability, if you can become aware that your product or your service is needed, if you can become aware of your own self-worth, if you can become aware of the worth of your product or service, if you can become aware of the worth of how it impacts another individual, then you can become as successful as you want to be, period. But that's awareness. Now, the only way that we start to get this awareness is if there is something that causes us to explore the idea to begin with. Many, many people look at their lives and they look at it from with an absolute idea, like here's what it is, here's all that is, there's nothing else to know. And they just go through their life from birth to death and nothing really changes that much. Other people go through life and they question what they're experiencing. They question, but because by the law of relativity, they look out and they see people that are doing better than them. They see people that are doing worse than them. They see people that seem to be living their dream or living their purpose. And it starts to spark a conversation in their mind, like if other people can do this, is it possible that I can do it? And that's how we start to become aware, because we see something and we wonder if that thing that we're seeing could actually be for us, if we could actually be, do, or have what it is that we're experiencing in life. And it's a fabulous experience when a person wakes up consciously enough to ask the question. Because when they ask the question, they open the door that is keeping them closed to ignorance. Ignorance is a room where the instructions to get out of the room are on the outside of the room. And we don't know they're on the outside of the room until we ask a different question that opens the door and allows us to see that. Once we open that door and we become conscious that we did so, then we understand this principle that going from, so RC equals your results currently and your circumstances. It tells you the level of awareness that you are right now. But opening that door and walking out of that room allows you to start going through the process of raising your awareness, and there's no limit to it. There's absolutely no limit. As long as you keep asking questions, and as long as you keep saying yes and opening doors, there's another level and another level and another level. So that means that life can get better and better and better and better. Does that mean that we won't have problems? No, it doesn't mean that we won't have problems. So I want you to think about something here. This is very interesting because about every 20 years, at least for the last 100 years or so, every generation goes through a major crisis. And it's uncanny because it is about every 20 years. So right now we have COVID-19, okay? 20 years ago, we had 9/11. Major crisis. 20 years before that, in the early 80s, we had AIDS and the Cold War. 20 years before that, we had Vietnam, civil rights, you know, that kind of stuff that was going on, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's a lot of different things, but those are some of the big things. 20 years before that, we had World War II. 20 years before that, we had the Great Depression. And just like 15 years before that, we had World War I. So it seems like every 20 years, there is something that happens that's very big that affects a mass population of people, either directly or indirectly. It causes a change in thinking, and it causes us to then come back together as a society to move forward. So I was thinking about this. This really dawned on me yesterday about this every 20-year thing, and I was like, okay, so what's behind this? And then I started thinking about, you know what's really interesting? If you go back to 9/11 and you think about how we pulled together as a country during that time and we made it through that time, then everything started to get better. Now, we did have that crisis at about the 8-year period or 7-year period after that, where we had the mortgage situation, okay? However, we pulled together, but it seems to take about a 20-year period of things being relatively good for everything to start to deteriorate again. Now, I have a lot of opinions about that I'm not really going to go into very deep right now, but just know that there's a very interesting pattern there. When things get bad, we pull together. When things get good, we start to flutter off into different directions. And I think with each one of these things, if you really dig into societal thinking and behavior, it causes people to become very, very divided. Now, why would that be? Well, one of the reasons that it would be is when things are good, people start letting their minds float off of what is important in the world. And they start looking at what is only important to them over a period of time. All you have to do is go back, like, however old you are. Like, I was born in 66, so I can go all the way back to 1960 and really have a solid memory of what the hell was actually going on. And you know the history. And if you don't know the history, you can look up the history. But with each time, there was a huge division of people. It started to divide. The country started to blow apart. And then after the major crisis happened, people started pulling back together. So this is one of those times. Now, one of the things, if you're coming from a higher level of consciousness, is that we realize that not only are people kind of coming apart, but the world starts kind of coming apart. And as the world comes apart, the world needs something to pull it back together again. It's fascinating when you start to really dig into this, right? Sometimes it's just a country. Sometimes it's a few countries. Sometimes it's a certain select mindset of people or what is actually shifting in humanity. And in this case, it's basically the entire world. And it's forcing us to pull together, right? So what does that kind of tell us about human behavior? When we don't have things to be focused on that are urgent for everyone, but only urgent for you, or only urgent to small groups of individuals, relatively, that we have a tendency to start going in different directions. And when we go in these different directions, we start to become kind of like ideologues, where we start making certain sections or certain groups of individuals very, very wrong. And over the last few years, we have been doing that to an extreme. Like because of the internet, the prosecution of individuals before any kind of rule of law comes in has been happening at an extraordinary rate. And it can happen for big things, it can happen for little things that really don't matter, but it's happening, and it's happening a lot. We're even seeing it now with the news and how they're politicizing what's actually happening right now. People start to use it for their own self-interest. They start to use the pain of others and the problems of others for their own self-interest, and then that causes a major, major division. So if you think about it from the perspective of more life that I talked about yesterday, in order for nature itself, and we are part of that, to continue to move forward, it must come back together in its original purpose of each of us supporting each other. If we don't support each other, then we go away as a species. Anything that doesn't support each other, by the laws of nature, begins to disintegrate. It's part of what the United States Constitution was based on, that united we stand, divided we fall. There is real meaning to that idea and how it affects us individually. So I urge you to be careful not to get sucked into your own world and problem too much, and really think about how we can help everybody to the very best of our ability, because I think it also determines how fast something like this turns around. If we pull together, we turn it around fast. If we stay divided and fight and blame and make people wrong, the whole damn thing falls apart. It's just worse. So, and this is historical. You can go back a long time and you can see how absolutely true this is. You can also see cases in history where people didn't do it and things actually completely fell apart. So do your homework a little bit if you have some extra time. We have a lot of time on our hands these days in a way. So really think about the perspective of that, because what I just have gone through here in the last few minutes, what is that? It's a level of awareness. It just gave you a different level of awareness about the possibility of why we're going through this, right? So when we say that everything is opposite and has an equal and opposite side, when you're looking at the virus and the situation, you could say that's bad. But if you look at it from a global perspective, that the damn world needs to get their shit together, we could be like, this could be one of the very best things that happened for human beings as a species, to be able to pull together and to really think about what our priorities are as far as how we treat each other and what we're really doing. Okay, so that's something to think about. New level of awareness. You don't get levels of awareness like that if you're not practicing gratitude. So let's go back to this. Let's go back to this chart. Results and circumstances. That's what we're looking at. What are our results and circumstances? It always tells us what our level of awareness is. Now, if we practice gratitude here, our level of awareness goes up. And then what we can do is we can see the next higher opportunity for ourselves. If we practice fear, our level of awareness goes down and the opportunities become limited in our mind, not in reality, in our mind. So while the virus has shrunken everything, right? We don't have the same opportunities that we did, but we've created different opportunities. And that's what we have to be aware of. And of course, you have to think through what we're experiencing so that you can become aware of those opportunities. You have to do your homework. You have to look and dig to see, is my business relevant? How is my business relevant? How is my expertise in my business relevant? How are my skill sets in my business and my expertise relevant? How is my compassion relevant? How is my ability or willingness to help relevant? How are my finances relevant? So there's a lot of places that we have to look and dig to be able to do that. Gratitude allows you to go in there. Fear keeps you out of it, and it goes into self-preservation. And then that's when we shut everything off, and then we become a victim of our own making. We literally become a victim of our own making. Okay. Gratitude takes us up. It opens doors. Fear takes us down, and it closes doors in our mind, not in reality, in our mind. But when we're in our mind to that extent, that becomes our reality. That becomes our reality. So let me show you something. Let me take this just a little bit further. Yesterday we talked about, well, I've mentioned several times, the law of polarity. I just absolutely love this law. And the reason that I love it so much is because it's a law of higher consciousness. All the laws are. But you look at it from the perspective of, if you follow the truth, if you follow this universal law of physics law, what we understand about it is that we can't experience anything in this world without the opposite being present at the same time, even if we can't see it. Because understanding and awareness allows us, it determines what we see and how we experience something. So if we say something is bad, of course, there's different levels of bad. This would be good over here. And if we're saying something's bad, it indicates that we're somewhere on this side of center on that, because that's the experience we're having. Bad. This would be the extreme bad that you could possibly experience all the way over here, okay? But when we say something bad, when we label something as bad, we're judging it, and we make that judgment. Excuse me. When we make that judgment, what happens is that our reality begins to take form in our mind. And we give a command to our brain to only see what's bad, and we don't see what's good. So now we develop a reality, a complete reality on this side of the line. And that's what we see. Because our mind is so focused on things being bad. Now, it's not that you're not experiencing it. You are experiencing it. So for everybody that's listening, think about it like this. You experience your life and your situation the way that you perceive it, the way that you perceive it. But it doesn't tell you all the information. So if it doesn't tell you all the information, you cannot logically get to the truth of it because you don't have all the information in order to see the truth. You're only seeing a partial reality of what's actually in existence as a whole, which we talked about yesterday. Everything's created as a whole. There are two sides to everything. And how we use that knowledge determines where we actually have the experience. So if I practice gratitude, if I'm in fear, so this would put me in fear because I'm saying it's bad. That's the emotional result of saying that it's bad. If I practice gratitude, if I move shift to gratitude in my mind, I immediately start to go over this line and I begin to experience the good that's actually here at the same time. Because I'm giving my mind a command that says, be grateful for this experience. So now I start looking for things to be grateful for. As I do that, now think, as I start looking for things to be grateful for, I can very easily spot where somebody is not being grateful, meaning they're stuck in fear. And then it becomes very clear to me how I can help them or I can't. Because I can see the polar opposite of the problem when I do that. If I'm stuck in my own fear, I can't really see how to help anybody else because I'm assuming they're in the same fear and the same problem that I'm having. And that may not be true at all. They may be having a completely different experience or a completely different level of that fear. But we can't both get to the solution if we're both stuck and paralyzed by fear. That literally becomes, the entirety of what it is that we're actually experiencing. So that's how we move from one to the other. That's how we literally shift realities that both exist in the same time, in the same place. There's more than one reality that you're experiencing, and you can shift it by the way that you use your thinking and what you choose to think about consciously. So you do that, it moves you up, and then it allows you to begin to see what you didn't see before. So you become aware. That's what the A is for. You become aware. As you become aware, then you make a decision. The decision is, how can I help? How can I do something about this problem? Because as I become aware of an opportunity, if I stay in gratitude, it also shows me the way to help the problem. So I become aware of all the different things that I need at that level of awareness in order to take action on what I'm becoming aware of. Because it all has to be here at the same time in the same place. Then I make a decision. Then I change. That means my thinking changes, my behavior changes, and I adapt to this new level. As I adapt to the new level, I grow because I'm more able to let go of my old reality that's based in fear and step into a new reality of possibility. Remember, both are here at the same time. If you're experiencing fear, if you're experiencing confusion, you want to write that down, by the way, because I think there's a lot of people that are in confusion right now. If you're in confusion about what to do, fear is what's controlling your mind. Even if it doesn't feel like fear, it only feels like confusion, it is fear. Because when we go into fear, one of the first things our mind does if it doesn't have a clear path forward is to go into confusion, because confusion will stop a person from moving forward. That's how it works. Confusion will stop a person from moving forward because they don't know what to move forward to, so they'll stay where they are, and then eventually they'll just give up because they can't clear the confusion. The confusion causes a feeling of unrest and sometimes anxiety and uncertainty, so then the person goes backwards. So we really need to think about, what is the process that's going on in my mind at the moment, so I can empower myself to be able to move forward. We empower ourselves by changing our mind to gratitude. Remember, the meaning that you give anything will equally determine the experience of it that you have. The meaning that you give anything will equally determine the experience of it that you have. It will express itself in the corresponding emotions. So when you're in fear, you know that you've given it a meaning that it's bad in some way, probably. Or you're looking at the consequences that could negatively impact you. And then you experience the corresponding emotion, and that becomes your whole world in the moment. And you just stay in that place. Now, there's a lot of people that say, well, that's just an illusion. No, it's not an illusion. It's not an illusion at all. It is only part of the whole truth. What you're experiencing is happening. What you're experiencing is real to you. You're having the experience. You see money not coming in or not enough money to be able to go out or whatever your situation might be. Those things are very real to you. But you don't have the whole truth in front of you, so you only make decisions based on what you can see at the time. That does not allow you to get to where it is that you want to go. So understand that you're giving something meaning that is not purposeful. I mean, not purposeful in the direction that you ultimately want as an outcome. We have to really think about the outcome that we want. So when we grow, we get to the point where we can see the next level. And when we see the next level, we become aware of it. And we go through the same process. Aware, decisions, change, adapt, grow. And then we see the next level. We go through the same process. And actually, gratitude is the first one. I just wrote it down here today versus the chart that I was using yesterday. So it's gratitude. We're grateful that we see the next level. That keeps our mind open, looking forward at the possibility. Then we're aware of the next possibility. Then decisions change, adapt, grow. And then again, we see the next level. And then it's gratitude, awareness, decision, change, adapt, grow. And then we see the next level. And it's gratitude, it's gratitude, awareness, decisions, change, adapt, grow, and we see the next level. And with each one of these, it's taking us out of our problem and into a place of possibility and the result that we actually desire. We get here and it's gratitude, awareness, decisions, change, adapt, grow. And it's the same thing all the way up until we reach our goal or the outcome that we desire for ourselves. So let's look at the mental process that goes beyond fear that causes us to stay stuck. What's actually happening in the mind? How are we processing this that causes us to stay stuck? Because I know that there's people that will go, no, you don't understand. I really want to change this and get to where I want to go, but I don't know what to do, right? So understand this principle. The how of what you need to do is already here. The universe does not hold back information from any purpose, any person. How is it some people seem to tap into that knowledge on a regular basis, and other people go their whole life and they can't do it? So what the result is they need somebody else to tell them what to do forever, okay? Number one, we're pretty much programmed with other people telling us what to do. Most of us on this planet are programmed with other people telling us what to do, even to the fact that they give us permission to advance in life. Or if they say we're not good enough, we don't get to advance. So all the power is kind of, we're taught that all the power is kind of given to somebody else. And on a lesser occasion, other people don't have that experience, but most of us actually do. So it's very important to understand that. Because the other thing is that if we don't think that we're good enough, we get stuck in that place in our mind. If shame and guilt take over, then we can't see to that next level. It paralyzes our mind in a box. So check this out. Here's the process of what happens. So we're going to take this for this is very interesting, because this is probably the first time in history where everybody here in the United States is experiencing the same thing. It's one problem for everyone, okay? Then everybody has their micro problem, right? But in a macro sense, it's one problem for everyone. So when we have that problem, when we recognize that problem, we're going to call that a fact. There's a coronavirus. And based on what the government's doing, it's limiting our ability to work the way that we know it. It's limiting our abilities in some cases to be able to leave home. That seems to be consistently increasing a little bit each day. So we would call that an external fact. That is an external fact. This external fact has, and this is a very, very rare case. It is no fault of your own. So you didn't cause this to actually happen, okay? Not directly. I think my teaching at the beginning of this shows how we probably all have participated in it indirectly, just by the separation of humanity. If you're coming in late, I encourage you, don't judge what I just said. Go back and listen to the recording, because I explained why I think that about 5 minutes into the call, okay? So what we have is an external fact that in no part on our own, from our own perspective, from our own responsibility, did we cause that external fact. Now, there's other external facts that go along with this, but what's important now is to also know at the same time we have our internal past that is a fact. For every person, your past is a fact. You experienced it. You know what it was. To you, it's a fact. Meaning that a lot of people make decisions out of the facts that they're experiencing, both external and internal, and they're only coming from this place, what I know. What I know. When we look at the facts, both external and internal, internal from our past, the only choice that we can make is to go to what I know already. Well, this is a situation to basically what you know. If you use these two equations, external and your past, then it forces you to go to this place and make a decision from here. What's this? This is what I think I can do. And then from here, we go over and we make a plan. So let's go through this again. We have the fact of the situation with the virus. Then we have external facts. The country is shutting down. The government is shutting down the country. It's basically telling most a lot of people that they can't work. We have our internal facts, which come from our past, and that is a subset of knowledge that we start making or thinking from. That's what I know. Then, if we don't change anything in here, that generally causes fear because it's not enough information, right? I look at the external facts, and then I look at my internal past, and I say, there's nothing I can do. If we just use those two things, there's nothing I can do. So I go into fear, that's what I know, and then I move to what I think I can do. And we keep, and then we plan, right? So we keep going around and around and around. This is a terrible cycle that people get stuck in. And this is also a cycle that I teach when times are good, because people get stuck in this very much the same way when things are going good. That's why people stay where they are. So what's the problem? The problem is this. Very few people actually either have had somebody give them this permission or they give themselves this permission. And that's to ask the question, what do I really want? Really want, okay? What do I really want? And that's a question we have to ask. But why don't we ask this question? Because in order to ask this question, we have to tap into our imagination. And we were taught that our imagination is just pure fantasy. There's nothing real about it. Most of us from the time we were kids, imagination was great up until it started to disrupt the flow of going to school and conforming to the way the world needed you to behave. Then it became intrusive. Then it became disrupting class. Then it became not paying attention. Then it became reprimand. And usually reprimand by shaming the person or guilting the person. So a person learns very early on in life to shut down the idea of fantasy through the use of their imagination, and they don't allow themselves to go there. But if we want to go to what we really want, it's not part of our past, it's out of our past. Big difference. And if it's out of our past, that means that we have to see something that we've never seen before, which is your internal past and the facts. You have to build an image in your mind to see something that you've never experienced before. And you have to use your imagination to do that. Now, if we use our imagination to do that, and your imagination is one of the faculties of your intellect, everybody has an imagination. Everybody can use their imagination. And you cannot build an image of something in your mind that you cannot create in your hand. Now, why is that? Because all the knowledge that ever was or ever will be is 100% present in all places at the same time. When you're building an image, you're drawing from that knowledge. You call it spirit, or you can call it energy, whatever you want. Doesn't matter to me. You're drawing from that knowledge to build an image. The universe doesn't do anything that doesn't add to itself. It keeps itself in check, and it keeps itself in balance to sustain life. So the knowledge that's there is always a possibility. Like it's not that you can't do it, it's only how can you do it. Now, if you think about this, as human beings, we've done unbelievable, amazing things through the good use or the practical use of a person's imagination. Everything that we see, the technology that we have, everything that was built by human beings, all started off in a person's imagination. They saw something that hadn't been created before. And they worked on it until they created it, which is basically a math problem. All business is a math problem, okay? Now, if we don't know that, we still use our imagination, but we use it unconsciously. And we use it from a place of fear, and we start building images in our mind of something that's not actually here yet either, but we're projecting our fear into our universe through the incorrect use of our imagination. That's where you have people that do extremely destructive things throughout the universe. Look at what Hitler did. Look at what Stalin did. That was through a terrible use of their imagination. But see, the universe doesn't have a conscience, right? It doesn't say you can't have this or you can't have that, or you can have this, but you can't have that. Whatever it is that we think of, unless somebody else stops us, we can put it in place. We can create it. If I can see it in my mind, I can hold it in my hand. So you have to ask a different question. What do I really want? And it has to start from there. What do I really want? Forget the circumstances. Yes, you need to know the external facts, but you don't need to be guided by them from a limiting perspective. Because out of what the government has set up that we can't do, remember the opposite side of the same thing exists, what we can do. The government says you can't do this, but it also means you can do something else. It has to be. You can't have one side without the other. They both have to exist simultaneously in the same place at the same time. See this marker that I'm holding in my hand? You don't have the left side of the marker and the right side of the marker in different countries. They're connected. Everything has an opposite, and it's equal an opposite. But it's a whole. They're in the same place at the same time. Now, if I had never seen a marker and I didn't know what it was, I would not be able to give it a meaning that has any value to me. Right now, we're in a situation where we are experiencing something that we've never experienced, but many people are automatically giving it a meaning that has no value to them. They're assuming there is no value there. And I'm here to tell you that that is complete BS. Not only is there value there, if you look at this thing as being really bad, it also has to be really good. And the really good is just as here for is just as real as the really bad. It depends on how you're going to use your mind to engage in the reality that we're currently experiencing. You can switch it from one side to the other instantaneously. Boom, you go from one side to the other. At one moment, you're experiencing it as something bad. You start practicing gratitude. You open the door. It allows you to walk through this line, and you begin to experience it as good. You don't even leave your chair. And you begin to change your experience. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, you know what? This person's a little bit down. Go cheer them up. We've probably all experienced that. We've either done it or been on the receptive side of it. You could have somebody who's sobbing and depressed, and a minute later, they're laughing and they're optimistic. Because somebody came and cheered them up. What they did was they broke that pattern in their mind and they allowed them to experience joy for a moment. Maybe they told them a joke. Maybe they made them laugh in some way. Maybe they gave them a different perspective. But it's the speed of light, a person's perspective can change. We don't necessarily need someone else to do that, just so you know. We have the ability to do it individually because we have the ability to choose. But if we've never experienced this before, if you've never experienced what I'm teaching you before, you don't know it. That makes you ignorant to that truth that exists, but you don't know that exists. So you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know how to change it. It's very easy to change it. It's very easy to change it. You go into gratitude, it opens the door. And you stay in gratitude. You stay in gratitude for the rest of your life. You can literally change your mind for every single thing that comes into your life, no matter how much from the past you think it's a bad thing, to say, this is good. Because that will give your mind a command to find what's good in a thing. It's easy to see what's bad in a thing. We're so programmed from a point of fear, from a point of safety, from a point of certainty. We have to know that we can literally change fundamentally the way that our mind operates to look for something good in everything instead of looking for what's bad in everything. Now, finding out the external facts of the situation is not a bad thing as long as you don't get emotionally involved in it. Because in many cases, we need to know the external facts so that we understand the decisions that we're making and we can actually do what it is that we want to do. But if I start to think about what I want to do and I start to allow that to open my mind and go into my imagination, I can visualize and build a picture of what I want to create external of myself. And I can begin to step into the possibility of that instantaneously. So there's a lot of you out there right now that are having a tremendous difficulty because you're in that confusion place, or you're worried about what other people are going to think based on where you currently are. And you don't know if it's okay to make a decision to move forward. You don't know if it's okay to have the perception changed to be able to move forward. So you stay in confusion and you just freeze. That's why we made those calls free. So, Steph, I'm going to bring you on live here if you're ready. Are you ready?
You know I was born ready, David. Come on.
Okay. You know what's interesting is that for 4 days now, everybody's got to be in your bedroom with you. That's got to be a neat experience. Awesome. Huh?
I even changed out my duvet just to switch it up a little bit.
Well, you have different background, right? You know, somebody's doing a whole class on how to have the background of your home a professional setting to do this.
I think I should probably take that class.
Okay. So, Steph, you want to tell them, I told everybody on the first call that we had a surprise for them today. You want to tell them what that is?
I would love to. So we have received so much positive feedback about this. I know that it's of benefit to so many of you to be able to just hear this, make sure that your brain is getting this, because you're surrounded by so much of the opposite of what David's teaching, that we've decided to continue. We're creating we've created a program that will meet weekly, 90 minutes, an hour of teaching just like this, with open Q&A at the end, and also a private Facebook group where you can engage with our entire team. We've got a director of events. We've got a director of social media. We've got video experts, two guys that are absolutely amazing at all things live stream video. We've got a sales director. We've got, you name it, we've got it as a resource for you. So we've created a Facebook group that for you to join, where you can get specific questions answered that pertains to your business. We've set it up for 8 weeks, hoping that in 8 weeks we'll be through this, but our plan is to continue with you until this crisis is over, so that you have some kind of solid ground that you can tap into weekly or as needed in the Facebook group and feel really supported. And we're offering it for free. So there's no charge for the program. Because you're already in this, what I'm going to do, and we're working on the back-end technology right now, so kind of bear with us, but what I'm going to do is just move everybody who's opted in for this four-part training into that program. If you don't want to be a part of that program, I'll include a link for you to opt out in your welcome email. So if that's something that you don't want, go ahead and just click opt out, and you won't get the reminders or the replays, and you won't get the invitation to the Facebook group. The first training is going to be Tuesday. So this coming Tuesday, we didn't want to go too long because everything's still changing really fast. So the first training's on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern via Zoom, just like we're doing right now from David's kitchen slash living room and from my bedroom. We'll be broadcasting some really great training plus Q&A for you. So again, nothing that you need to do. I'll take care of everything for you. No opt-ins, no hoops to jump through. We'll just move you over. And then if you want to opt out, you can. Totally, you know, we won't take it personally if you decide to opt out. And we are opening this up to anyone who would benefit. So if you're getting value from this and you think someone else can get value from it, please share. We're going to keep the four-part training up. The opt-in page is going to remain up with all
the links to the replay. Share the four-part training too, Steph. Tell them to share the four-part training.
That's what I'm saying. We're keeping everything as is. So on the opt-in page that we've created, you'll see the replays. So if you share our opt-in page, they'll be able to opt in and get all four of these trainings, plus then be opted in automatically to the continued program. We just want to be here for everybody and do our part. As a side, Sarah and I both have a few more spots on our calendar. I opened up some time tomorrow because I personally have talked to no less than 6 people in the last day and a half. And 4 of those 6 people thought that they should push pause on their business and they should be marketing crazy in their business because there's so much opportunity. So if you've got an up and running business and you're making money and you want to know if you should push pause or not, book a call with Sarah and I. We'll help you as much as we can. Know that our time is limited. You can also send us emails, send to Corey. He's support, SUPPORT, at davidnagle.com, and he'll filter those to Sarah and I, and we'll get you answers as quickly as possible. But your fastest way to answer is to join the Facebook group and to ask your questions in there.
We had a woman contacted me yesterday, Steph, on Instagram. And I think she said she was Croatian. I may have that part wrong. But she is translating it for her family that lives in another country and they don't speak English. So she's translating the four-part series for them. And they're probably going to spread that around. So I thought, you know, what a great thing to really do. Yeah, we have people from all over the world contacting us on this. So it's really amazing. We're really grateful that we're able to do something to help and be part of the solution here instead of part of the problem.
Okay, Brandon, can I ask you to post my link? Oh, thank you. Brandon just posted my link as well. Okay, so what do you say we take some questions, David?
All right.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. First
thank
question.
Thank you, Fiona. Thank you, Fiona.
First question is from Mariette. I understand that through gratitude, you can find additional ways to serve in your business as long as they are relevant to the current time period. What brainstorming tools and questions would you begin to ask yourself to allow your mind to shift to a solution mindset?
Good question. So I think part of it is, so being really crystal clear about your business. What is your business? What does your business do? Who does it help? And then looking at your product and service and asking yourself, who does that help? You're also thinking about how does it do it and what can you actually do to shift that? Well, so typically, you have to be clear on, based on the change, what have been the barriers that have been put up? And you have to ask yourself, how can you break the rules and go around those barriers? What are the different ways to go around those barriers so that you can serve individuals, because if you come from the place of how can I help people in need, you will find a way around the barrier. We have the amazing internet and our phones to be able to get around those barriers like we never would have been able to do in the past. So, Steph, what are some of the ideas that you're coming up with the people that you're talking to? What are you having them take a look at?
So, I'm having them take, so the big question that I asked, and I actually had a conversation with 2 attorneys right before this call, and they had already made the decision that they were going to like push pause, move everything. And I said, you know, let's just take a step back from this for a second. Are you sure there's no opportunity here? Because I feel like there is. And it really was about like the assignment that I gave them was to get out a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle. And on one side, write all their doubts. So like all the reasons why they think they can't, why they think they need to push pause. Yeah. And on the other side, to open that piece, that side of the paper for how could we? Like, how could we do something really great right now? How could we add value? How could we provide service? what are people needing right now that are in our audience? And for them, you know, one of their businesses was they're an immigration attorney. Well, everything is crazy right now with immigration. We've got people stuck in different countries. We've got people looking for information about how this is going to affect things. And if they were to just like dig in and go for it and put out tons of information, they would grow their audience and people would just organically go to them as the expert for whatever they need. They didn't see that, right? So it's really like, I really like the exercise of, okay, so let's get all the doubt out of your mind, put it on this side of the paper so that it's there, yeah, whatever. And then let's focus on like, what are our opportunities right now? What can we do to bring in, to help people and also maybe to bring in some money? So that's one suggestion. Is that what you were asking for?
Yep, that's great.
Awesome. Okay, so let's go to the next question. What are some key actions we can take every day to stay in the mindset of adaption, growth, and trust?
Is that right?
Did you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Adaptation, right?
Mm-hmm. Growth and trust.
So trust is an interesting thing. I'm going to start with trust for a minute because I do a whole lesson around trust, and maybe I should make that as part of the four call series. It probably would be a good idea.
Eight call series.
Say again?
Eight call series.
Yeah, eight call. Yeah, eight call. My number's wrong. Here's the thing about trust. I think we have to understand where trust comes from and how is it developed in a person, because most of the time what ends up happening is that we break trust with ourselves so much that, number one, we don't trust anybody else. We don't trust anything. A lot of times we don't trust God or the universe. And it stems from that either trust in ourself was never developed or it was broken so much that we just don't trust it anymore. As a matter of fact, we develop the belief that we can't trust ourselves. Now, how does that happen? It happens when you say you're going to do something and you're not your word and you don't do it. And you do that over and over and over and over again. Because basically you're telling your subconscious mind that you are your own worst enemy. You're never going to follow through. So that's one of the things that also causes a lot of mind chatter, like, oh, you'll never do this or you can't do that or whatever, because you don't follow through on everything that you say you're going to follow through on. And it's not good enough to say, I follow through on 98% of what I say I'm going to do, but there's 2% that I don't. Your subconscious mind will glom onto that 2% and not let go like nobody's business. So one of the things that I do is I teach people that the idea is that you start taking things in your life and you pick things that you absolutely know you will follow through on and you're determined to follow through on. And you do this just one or two things at a time. Don't do too many at once or you'll definitely fail. It'll become too overwhelming in your consciousness. But you pick one or two things and then you say that you're going to do them and you keep your word. And then after you do that and you're continuing to do it for a while, then you add to that. Pretty soon, in a relatively short period of time, you will start to build amazing trust with yourself because you're building the habit of being your word, and following through on what you say you're going to do. Once you do that, you develop a confidence where you know that if you make your mind up to do something, there's not anything that you can't accomplish. So that is a first and foremost idea when it comes to trust. If we don't trust other people, we don't trust other things. Generally, we don't trust ourselves, and we have to start there first. Because if you trust yourself, you will evaluate everything, including other people, very differently than if you don't trust yourself. So anyway, I do a whole teaching on this. I'll teach about that on another call, but know that part for right now. So the idea of what we can do every day is to maintain a mindset of gratitude. Being grateful for everything that's happening, even if you don't like it. Because when you don't like it, you generally judge it, you label it, you give it meaning, you say it's bad, then you have the corresponding emotions, then your mind closes down around that, you use your imagination in the wrong way, and you start seeing everything that's wrong. Because remember, whether you're seeing things that are wrong that haven't happened yet, or you're seeing things that are right that haven't happened yet, you're gauging your imagination to do so. And it's very important that we use our imagination correctly. And to do that, it is gratitude. It's being clear about what it is that we want. It is consistently educating ourselves and finding reasons why we can do something and not reasons why we can't do something. The fact that most of us are limited to our homes is not a reason why you can't do something. It's a reason why you can do something, because now you have an extraordinary amount of time to focus on getting hold of people through all the mediums that come through your computer, right? So we have to start thinking on that basis, and we have to maintain gratitude. Now, one of the things that goes with this is hope. And I touched on this a bit yesterday. I think it's very important. It's important that we maintain hope. Hope is a very interesting word. Like many of you have probably heard, hope is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy, okay? But it's essential for human existence. Hope is essential for human existence. When people lose hope, that's when really nasty things begin to happen in their life and begin to happen to societies. Hope is the idea that we don't know how, what, or when, but we expect something good to happen. And it's very important that we have hope right now, because it helps us unlock a door in our mind and start to go down the road of gratitude. Because if you have hope, you can have gratitude. And if you have gratitude, you can start opening the door to see the other side of something. And then you start going up the staircase with your mind. So it's an entire process of doing that. Think about, I have hope that something's going to happen. Now, intellectually, why? Because it's the opposite side of bad. It has to be in the same place at the same time. That's where the laws come in, as like a beacon of light of truth to hold in your life. The law of polarity states that two sides of something exist simultaneously in the same place. Good, bad, right, wrong, up, down, in, out, poverty, wealth, health, sickness. Like, they're all the opposite of the same thing, the opposite side of the same thing. And through that understanding, we can have hope. When we have hope, then we can be grateful. When we're grateful, we open the door to seeing opportunity. When we see opportunity, it re-engages. It gives us more hope. It gives us more gratitude. We start to see the ways that we can do something, and we constantly climb that staircase until we get what we want. I hope that helped.
I think that was great. Thank you so much. Okay, next question. I am in the wedding industry. A lot of events and weddings are being canceled and postponed.
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out how to get clients still to make deposits, but it's difficult since everyone is in fear of the pandemic. Do you have any advice on how to get through this?
Sell people that want to get married right now. There are people right now that are not letting this stop them from getting married. And what they decided to do is they decided to live stream their weddings and bring their entire family into it. They're doing it where they can celebrate, where they can have a reception. Everybody makes their own food and they're all gathering together on the internet. And that's how they're doing it. I've seen several stories of people doing this. I thought it was absolutely genius. It is a way, that is a way that you could do something where you think, well, shit, I can't get married because now we're all stuck in the house. It's a different marriage. It'd be an amazing, if you're holding on to the idea of what a wedding is in your mind and you absolutely need to have it be in person and you want to have that experience, then just wait until you do it. But if you want to be kind of revolutionary in this, and I mean, what a really cool memory to be able to have over something as special as a marriage, you could do it the way that I just suggested. And I would look for people that actually want to do that right now, being that it could be a long period of time before we could all get together in a room again, and they want to get married right now. So that's what I would start doing now. Definitely booking things in venues is very, very iffy right now because nobody knows when they're going to restart. There's all kinds of speculation on when things are going to start to open up again. But the truth is we don't know. So I would find ways to engage with people as to how they can do it now. I would also find ways to engage with people that want to wait, where you keep communicating to them on a regular basis. You keep them updated. You keep them informed. You keep them in planning mode. And when it's ready to pop, then you can open it up and start signing people up for those events.
Thanks, David. Yeah, Crystal Williamson in the chat was talking about how there was a wedding in the streets of New York and the officiant spoke from the fourth floor window. So people are still getting married. They're getting creative about how it's done. Okay, next question is from Francine. Hi, David. I feel safe and grateful for my bubble and the opportunity of this pause. But as the numbers continue to grow and the pain and suffering of others grows, how do I navigate the guilt of looking for opportunities and sadness of seeing others suffering?
So there should be no guilt for looking for other opportunities, because with every opportunity also brings the opportunity to serve. It's the opportunity to serve another human being, to be a benefit in their life. There should be no reason that anybody feels guilty about that at all. There should be no reason that anybody feels guilty about taking payment for that at all. So to understand that you're not taking something from someone, you're benefiting to them. It is a very dangerous thing to bring the pain of the world into your consciousness at this point. No one person is ever meant to do that. There's nothing productive about it, absolutely nothing productive about it. You can't do anything for the entire world. It's not any one person's job to do anything for the entire world. I think that that is a projection problem, and it's a way to self-sabotage and a way that you're actually trying to keep yourself safe. So I would not do that. I would think about your personal world. How can you make a difference in your personal world with the people that you know, that you can reach out to, that you can make a difference in their lives? We're having the experience that people are waiting for somebody to reach out to them to help them because they're stuck. And they're so grateful when you reach out to actually be able to help them. So get out of your bubble, so to speak, and reach out and start helping people, and know that you're doing a good thing. You're helping everything. You continue to move forward by doing that.
Next question. Any marketing ideas in this climate of social distancing? Having people meet me at others' events creates the most credibility for me. I'm a CPA. I think that a lot of people will need to start businesses now for their financial survival, but how do I gain their confidence now? So I've got some ideas after you're finished.
No, go. I'm going to let that. That's all you. Do it.
You are a CPA. You are a massive resource right now. Honest, I have been on the phone so much with our own CPA talking. Like, I have a scheduled call with my personal CFO and money manager. Maddie, if you're on this call, know that I'm coming for you, because we need to know what to do with money right now. So I don't know if you're a CPA that I would be focusing on people who want to start businesses now. I would be focusing on triaging people who are in business now, who need really sound business advice, who don't have a CPA, or whose CPA is buried, or who need a CFO type person to give them some advice about what they should do financially with what they have already. And I think that you do that by giving value. I would reach out to every single one of your friends, family members, network, and say, hey, I want to do a free class on what this means for you financially. Can you share this with people? People are sharing information all over the place right now because nobody knows, nobody has the answer. As David said, it's a brand new playing field. But I think there's a huge amount of opportunity for you, Teresa, to really actually grow your business and to have people trust you based on the value that you're providing. Either it's in a free call, a free webinar, white papers, social media posts, opportunities to speak with them about their business to see how you can help. Like, I would be reaching out to every single person I know saying, hey, I have this expertise. I know what the government's looking to doing right now in terms of small business loans, in terms of a stimulus package, in terms of what Marco Rubio is trying to get passed to cover salary for employers. What it looks like, what it means if you need to defer your taxes, what it means for you if you need to defer your quarterly estimates. People are asking these questions all over. It's being searched online, and you're a resource. So I would not rest on my laurels. I don't necessarily know that I would look for people who are wanting to start a business. I would be looking at who needs my help right now, and that's current business owners. Anything you want to add to that, David? Can you tell I'm passionate about this?
That is great. That's a good answer.
All right. Let me clear this and go to the next one. All right. This is from Karen. When you experience something as bad, are you suggesting that staying out of judgment means that you don't have the experience of the pain? Are you suggesting to stay neutral?
I'm not suggesting that you don't have the experience of the pain. But you have to think about it like this. What makes the pain go away? Either the thing that is bad goes away, or you change your perception of the thing that is bad. So in this case, if you wait till the thing that is bad to go away in order for you to stop feeling good, this situation controls you. And you want to take control of yourself. So there's no reason to look at what's bad from a judgmental perspective right now. There's absolutely no benefit in it whatsoever. The facts tell you enough of what not to do in order to stay safe and healthy in the situation. Follow the facts and then focus on what's good. And you'll find that it's uplifting for yourself and that it opens that door to more possibility.
Thank you.
But dwelling on the bad feeling does absolutely no good to anybody. Nothing.
Agreed. This question is coming from Janine. I hope I'm not mispronouncing your name. I apologize if I am. So I'm learning to understand the importance or need for allowing self to be vulnerable, to be in the state of grace and love, and so of service to self through service of others. My question is how to balance that and not fall into the pattern of putting the needs of others before your own, which apparently has been something I've unconsciously been doing and has been limiting my own growth. P.S. Thanks for being a voice for sanity at this time.
Yeah, you're welcome. The calendar is the best tool for this because you write down what your needs are. You get them on the calendar so that you make sure that you're taking care of your needs. You obey your calendar. So if you write down the amount of sleep that you need, when you're going to eat your meals, when you're going to communicate with your family, and how you're going to do all of the different things that you need to do for self-care, it's all on the calendar. You know when to do it. You know what to do. And then from there, you go on and you help other people.
And just something to add to that, something that I've been doing since all this craziness, because we've been working around the clock to get everything set up, is the first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning is I ask myself what I need today. Like, what do I need today? And then I write that down so that I feel like I've heard myself, and then I focus on what other people need today so that you don't lose yourself in the shuffle and then become some kind of a dysfunctional martyr because you're helping everybody else and you feel like no one cares about you. So just even asking yourself the question, like, okay, what do I need today for me? And then making sure that that doesn't get lost in the shuffle, I think is a good strategy too.
Great.
All right. This is from Martin. Hi, Martin. He's tuning in from Denmark, I believe, David. I'm about to start my online hypnotherapy university. Do I need to lower my prices of the online trainings because of the corona situation? Or shall I make it in packages? I feel a little challenged asking full prices, and I'm negotiating in my mind for my monthly income goals, lowering it. The expectation is a little unstable. Shall I stay in the full expectation like before the corona situation?
I don't see any reason why you wouldn't. There are people out there that need what you have, Martin, right now, and they have the ability to pay. So you're focused on those individuals and that's it. Now, if you want to do anything for less for somebody who really needs it and they don't have the money, if you want to do that, that's a personal choice. But from your regular solid business decision, I say you move forward as normal.
I 100% agree with that. Don't use this as an excuse to play small, Martin.
No, nobody. Don't use this as an excuse to play small. You have to realize that many of you, probably most of you, can come out of this better than you went into it. Like, this is an opportunity to go beyond what you've ever done before, but you have to find the opportunities within what's actually happened. A lot of opportunity here.
Okay, next question. We might need more information on this, but I'll ask just to see if you're pulling anything from this. Should I offer my new service as a pay what you want, or should I set a price? Thank you.
That really depends on your own personal preference. Meaning that I think you have to ask yourself, what is your intention with your new service? What is your overall intention? Neither one is wrong and neither one is right. I think it's just a personal decision how you actually want to do this. I know that there's a lot of people out there that are doing a pay what you can. And I know that there's people out there that are looking for new markets. And I know that there's people out there that have not lowered their price at all. And people are paying. Like, you know, I always say, don't spend somebody else's money for them, right? These are adults, okay? People know if they can pay or not. When we start judging whether another person can pay, that's a very, very dangerous thing. You know, if somebody says, I can't pay that, and you want to help them or lower it, that's entirely up to you during this time. I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, I would say that for most people in business, I would have a lot of caution about that during normal times, though, because that becomes what that is really a sign of is a lower self-esteem. I don't actually feel I'm worth what I deserve. And we have to realize that when we, you know, business is a math problem. You have to charge the right amount and you have to sell the right amount of people to be able to hit your goals and to keep your business open and keep it running and paying your overhead. If we start discounting because we feel guilty, if we start discounting because we feel ashamed, if we start discounting because we're trying to decide what other people can afford, which is really ridiculous, but so many people do it, then you'll do that till you go out of business. I mean, we'll run out of money. It's math. And either the business either works or it doesn't work. So I think that in this time, it's definitely a personal choice. And if that's the choice that you made, if that's a choice that you end up making to pay what you can, you make sure that you change that once this is actually over.
Thanks, David. Next question. I have an existing business, chemical engineering. Then I want to teach online. Then I want to coach businesses. Since I have one employee, I feel like I have to stick with my business to support him. I am stuck in divided ideas and thought. Do you have a recommendation?
I'm sorry. It garbled. Read it. Sure. Please say it again.
Sorry. It could be my internet.
I think it's mine, actually.
Okay. I have an existing business of chemical engineering. Then I want to teach online. Then I want to coach businesses. Since I have one employee, I feel like I have to stick with my business to support him. I am stuck in divided ideas and thought. Do you have a recommendation? Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, I think it's really great if we can keep our employees and if we can continue to pay them to get through this. I think it's a great thing. Second, I think the government is going to make a decision Monday that will allow all small businesses to be able to keep their employees and will reimburse you what it costs. So this may be a non-issue in a couple of days. Third, we're not responsible for our employees, period. And we're all adults, we're all human beings. Everybody has to be responsible for themselves. If you can't, you can't. And they have to go and get workers' comp, right? That we have things set up in this country so that a person can survive without being employed. And that's the way that it actually is. If you start feeling guilty about that, you have, let me back up here. If you lay somebody off, they go get workers' comp, and you maintain your business, you should be able to restart without a problem when this is over and hire that person back to work. If you run out of money, if you run out of everything, then chances are you won't be able to do that when it restarts. And the bigger the business, the business, the less chance a business will be able to restart and without having to start from ground zero in order to do it. It's one of the reasons why the government is working so hard on actually helping small businesses out. Otherwise, they're going to have millions upon millions of businesses that cannot restart when this is over because they don't have the capital to do it. And usually the biggest cost is their employees. So that's what I think.
Thanks. And in the chat, I posted an article about what David's referring to that they're looking at passing on Monday that's going to help employers be able to keep their employees and pay for them. So take a look at that article. Next question. Hi, David. I have a business where I help people navigate their emotions as well as couples navigate relationships. I see, and this is from Nicolee, I see a great need to help individuals and couples, but I also see a great need to help the people who are helping the people and couples who are in fear and urgency right now, such as divorce professionals, financial advisors, therapists, coaches. I'm wondering how I can make the biggest impact and where I may be needed the most. I'm wondering where to start.
follow your heart. Yeah. I can't tell you where you make the biggest impact. It's follow your heart. You're going into confusion, and confusion is what causes a person to stop. You have to understand what's in the process that's actually happening, Nicolee, and it's confusion is what you're experiencing. When you say where I can make the biggest impact, if you look at the other side of that, it's like, well, making a smaller impact is not enough, or it's not worth it. That's not true. Every single human being is worth some kind of help. You have to follow your heart. What I said on, I think it was the second day, was that everybody has a gift. Everybody has a unique, something special about them that will allow you to help other people. Ask yourself, where do you feel called the most to provide that service? And I can't see the person's name, but yes, workers' comp is if you're injured. I misspoke. I meant unemployment compensation, but thank you for that clarity.
And what I would say, Nicolee, is that it doesn't really matter where you start. The important thing is that you start, because until you start, you don't have a result. You don't know where you need to change or shift.
Right.
The important thing is to just start. Just pick one and do it regardless.
Because yep. If you stay in confusion, you don't help anybody. Mm-mm.
Okay. So we have some more confusion around the push pause. This is from Helena. Or Helena, I'm not sure. Please clarify. On one side, you say to push a pause button, but on the other side, you say to continue offering our relevant, helpful services. Thank you for your explanation.
So what I'm saying is that, I'm using the word pause in two different scenarios here. One, that this entire situation is like a pause in our life. The reason I'm saying pause is because it's a pause from the normal life that we live. It's not going to go on forever. We're going to get past this. We're going to get over it. And we're going to go on to be bigger and better. But in this moment of pause from normal life, we have to look at what we can do with the new set of rules that's going on. As far as a person pushing pause on their business, let me be clear. What I'm saying is, if you stop bringing in revenue or your revenue drops below your spend, you have to look at pushing pause on certain things that you're spending money on in order to keep those two numbers relevant, what's coming in and what's going out. If it all stops, then you need to be probably pushing pause on almost everything in your life that money is going out to until one of two things happen. Either the government helps, or this is over, or you can create more income for yourself. Because what you don't want to do is to go through this and completely run out of money. Okay, we want to be in a better position coming out of this than we were going into it, or at least neutral where we were coming in. We go out, you know. So that's the idea behind the pause. It's not to completely stop unless you absolutely have to. So when I said that, then we found out that created a little bit of confusion. That's why we opened up the phones for people to call so that we could talk them through what was going on. People are not sure if they can do pause or not on their business. We actually have to look at your business individually to tell you what the options are in your business and what you think that you can do. You know, if you're confused, it's not general for everybody, because it's very different for every single person. You have to look at a bunch of different components to make a decision there. And it's not a complete pause for everybody as far as their business goes. Only for people that hit that criteria that I was talking about. No money's coming in. They can't find a way to make any money, which I don't believe to be 100% true, but I understand that people get stuck there. And there's too much money going out the other side.
Thank you. I am trying to do too many things at once here. Okay, next question. I get stuck when it comes to technology. This is from Peg. I am a dream analyst and can help people to understand the messages they're getting from their subconscious mind. I don't know how to move forward in this field with the isolation thing. Any suggestions? My suggestion would be to get someone to help you with the technology. So that's not an excuse anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, if that's where you stop, if the technology is where you stop, then get someone to help with technology. And there's lots of people right now who are looking to help people with technology who have lost their contractor jobs.
There's on YouTube, there's usually a video for everything that will explain one step after another what to do. But yeah, just find somebody to help you with your technology and then start moving.
Here's
the thing. No excuse for me works. I'll find a way around anybody's excuse because I know that the other side has to be here. It's an absolute law. It works for every single person. So whatever your excuse is, it's just a way for you not to do something that you're uncertain about or you're in downright fear about.
Okay. We are, there's a question that came through the chat that says, do you have resources for tech? Absolutely. We created a resource page that we told everybody about, I believe, on Friday. It's on our blog, and there are multiple resources for tech, including online platforms, equipment needed, streaming services. So please, thank you guys. See, my team's way ahead of them. They're
Thanks,
already
Liz.
Posting.
Thanks, Brandon.
They're already posting the resource guide there. So take a look, see if you can find what you need there. The other great resource, again, is our Facebook group. We'll be answering questions in there as best as we absolutely can. I'm going to share a link in the chat to the new program. So if you know someone who's currently not opted in for the four-part and they just want the new program, there's the link for the next 8 weeks to join us live. And we are at time, David. Any last messages before we see everyone again on Tuesday?
Have a great couple of days and stay in gratitude. That's the thing. And stay out of confusion. Love you all. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.